Hi, I'm Lauren Klass-Schneider with Class Notes for Broadway Radio. I'm here with Alan Ruska, the writer of Ring Twice for Miranda, a new play presented by Red Horse Productions and RME Theatrical. Welcome, Alan.
Well, thank you very much, Lauren. Great to be with you.
Thank you for being here. Let's just start right away with your journey bringing Ring Twice for Miranda from page to stage.
It's been a long trip, actually.
Sure, understandable, as most are, but it's so interesting.
Well, it started, once we're past the writing of it, it started in London. When was this? 2009, I guess. We were going to do it in London. A group had assembled for that purpose. There were two very good producers involved. They thought they might get Jeremy Irons to play the role of Sir.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle Dockery had agreed to play Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
This is before Michelle became a giant star as a result of Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And we were heading toward the West End. We did a reading for West End theater owners. They said, you can keep this cast together. You can have any of our theaters you like.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked as if we were heading in the right direction. And then the producers had a disagreement. Jeremy Irons was signed to Du Bourges, and the production kind of fell apart. Then I wrote a couple of other plays, did those first, one in London, called A Man in Her Mind, which I later did as a film, and then did Laugh It Up, Stare It Down at Cherry Lane,
mm-hmm.
summer before last, and finally got back to Ring Twice for Miranda. We were lucky enough to get one of the stages at the City Center. We put the cast together.
Yeah. Well, what a journey. Glad you're here now.
Well, I am too. We're having a very good time with the run. The audiences seem to be enjoying it, and the cast is going strong. It's a wonderful, brilliant cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The New Yorker describes Ring Twice for Miranda as a dark comic fable. What made you as a writer want to enter this world and write the material in the first place?
Well, I don't know that it's so dark. I've
okay.
got to tell you, I don't read reviews, so I haven't read the New Yorker piece, although it's been described to me. I think there are various sides to this. There's obviously a dark side, and that is in the play. But the play is I think of the play mainly as comedy. In the sense that I think Waiting for Godot is one of the funniest plays ever written, although it's obviously it obviously has a very deep dark side. The question of what made me write it is probably more complicated than you want answered, but it comes from a variety of sources. I, in a prior incarnation, practiced law.
Uh-huh.
I did it for many
years. As a trial lawyer?
I was a trial lawyer, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I did it for 44 years.
Mm.
And in that practice, I came in contact with a lot of very powerful people in government and business, and watching them operate, watching the effect they had on others made me think it would be interesting to write a play about this process.
Oh, how fascinating. Yeah.
Also, I did direct Waiting for Godot, which I mentioned a few moments ago.
Uh-huh.
And if I were to give a shorthand version of this play, I would say that, well, Vladimir and Estragon are Waiting for Godot. My two main characters, Elliot and Miranda,
mm-hmm.
are working for him.
Oh. Oh, that's really quite interesting, and sheds another type of light on the play. So there might be a follow-up. There might be a part two.
Well,
that really explores that more literally.
Parts 2, 3, 5, and 7. I mean, almost everything I do will be a part of this, I think.
Now, you bring your writing talent to so many different mediums, including film, plays, and novels. In this case, having written Ring Twice for Miranda, what made you think that it was something, that story was compelling for the stage as opposed to a different medium that you work in?
Well, I would like to see it as a film, too, and there is a group in London right now that is working toward that end, and we actually have a screenplay in which we would do this in probably more of a sci-fi way. But if you think of Brazil or something like that, it would be probably in that sort of vein.
Mm-hmm.
It first occurred to me as a play, but I can see it as a screenplay. It's not really a novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely dialogue, and you could write a novel around it, but the main thing, I think, is the dialogue. So it's really either a play or a movie, and I think probably better on the stage than in any other medium, because the story is really told so much through the dialogue.
Uh-huh. One of your actors, George Merrick.
Yes.
He was quoted from an interview saying that audiences should come ready to ponder serious questions of power, survival, and what you do in the play circumstances. How does
Good for George.
So how does his quote resonate for you?
Well, first of all, I've got to say George Merrick's one of the greatest actors alive today.
Yes.
He's really phenomenal, and he's doing a great job in this play. But I mean, there are obviously, taking them one at a time, there are certainly power questions in every scene. Every scene is a power play, is a battle of powers, and that's what made the writing of this fun for me. It makes the performance of it so much fun for me. I've seen the play now many times, obviously, and.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a little different, but that element of the power battles within each scene is very strong in every single performance. The whole issue of power is something that I think is not, I mean, there are obviously lots of books and movies about it and plays about it, but... not enough in my mind. It's a very, very important issue in today's world, maybe even more important than it's ever been before, although it always has been in every civilization.
Mm-hmm.
But that struggle, the need in some people for power, what they will do to get power, and the impact on others, how it bends reality,
mm-hmm.
as people react to power in others, how they try to alter their own behavior to accommodate the power of others. That whole theme is something that I personally like to see more of in theater and film and books. But anyway, that's the main issue in the play. What were the other items on George's list?
Oh, power, survival, and what do you do in the play's circumstances?
Well, of course, all that is related to the power. I mean,
yes,
it's survival in the light of this extreme power being exercised by the driving force in the play, who we refer to only as Sir.
Mm-hmm.
And what can these characters do in the light of that force?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the cast understands this play beautifully, and they bring it to life.
They sure do. Now, if you had an opportunity to tell an audience member who was curious mm-hmm. how they could best prepare to see Ring Twice from Miranda, what would you tell them?
I would say just come and with no preconceptions at all, and let the play develop in you.
Okay.
I wouldn't prepare for this at all. I would just come with an open mind
mm-hmm.
and begin to absorb it. It is the kind of play where if you follow lines and follow the development through the lines and the scenes, it will have some people have said coming out of this play, a lasting effect. It does build. The first act is a setup for the second act, and it just keeps building.
Definitely. Well, I'm glad that I wasn't prepared at all, and I agree
Great.
With you. It makes the journey ever more rich. So
thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
I will say this play wrote itself. I wrote this play very rapidly. It was like taking dictation.
Oh.
That's an experience.
Like it was channeled.
Exactly right.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing more of your work, and certainly hopefully a film version of Ring Twice for Miranda, as well as a continued stage play. So I thank you, Alan.
I thank you so much. You're very kind.
Okay.
Pleasure talking.
Well, I appreciate your time. I'm Lauren Klaas-Schneider with Alan Ruska, the writer for Ring Twice for Miranda, presented by the Red Horse Productions and RME Theatrical Group. Thank you.